There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here and your chance to ask questions of my guest. Well, you can do that on the text line or the phone line, 251-343-0106. As I said, next week, if you didn't remember, next week, back to the polls. All right, wake up, back to the polls. And that means I get to see my friend, Mobile County Probate Judge Mark Irwin. Good to see you.
Hey, Sean. Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I was thinking, I've been, you know, I hear the promos for the... you know, I guess it's monthly talk to the sheriff episode. I get a little jealous about that, but
you've been here
about as much lately. For sure.
We'll keep you coming in.
But the problem I think is after elections, ask the judge sometimes gets a little tricky on how much I can get into, but we do other things besides.
That's what I was going to say. So you set yourself up for this. We will talk elections today, but y'all do. It's not the only thing you do at the probate office.
No, we have a lot under the umbrella of probate. There's an old joke, I've probably used this before, but whenever the legislature couldn't assign a task to a certain official, they just made the probate judge do it in the code.
This is yours, so this is yours.
Yeah, you know, well, we'll just make the probate judge do it. So we do all of the record keeping for the county. You know, we're the archivist for all of the historical records of Mobile County. They're available to the public if you need to access something and look it up. Of course, we do all the recordation of records for Mobile County. So it's kind of we're kind of a court of commerce. We're the people who do your mortgages, your deeds, your judgments, liens. Things have to be filed for public record. In order to be on public record, they have to come to our office. And so we handle that. And so in addition to the elections, those are all things that are required of the probate court before we get to actual court cases. So.
Yeah, you're not like the fireworks stands where you could open twice a year for Independence Day and for right. New Year's, and then, you know, do well enough, you just take vacation the rest
right.
of the year.
No, we've got plenty on the plate and a lot of good folks down there helping us get it done every day.
You know, you mentioned the deed thing. This has come up before with us, and you've been on, and people have had questions about this. They worried about people stealing. You know,
that's a popular topic these days.
And what are y'all doing down there to help people?
Yeah, so as I've mentioned before, we offer a passive alert system through our land record management system. And if you want to, you can create a username and password like you do for other accounts.
Go to your website.
Go to our website, to our benchmark system, which is our landmark system, which is our land record recording system. And we have a method of creating an account with us, and you put in a name in that account. And if a document comes across our desk being recorded for public purpose that matches that name, it should send an email alert to you that says, "Probate court just received something that has your name on it." And that way, now, if you have, you know, if your name's, you know, John Smith, you know, I don't exactly know how easy it might be to sort through that over time.
Can you put your middle name in?
I think there's different ways, and we could have our IT folks help to make sure that you're getting your correct name in there. That would be the sort of official formal name that would be on documents like deeds and mortgages. But the benefit is that you would at least get an alert that says something was filed with your name on it to give you a chance to check into it fairly quickly to determine, was that legit? Were you expecting that? Were you not expecting that?
So we don't listen to that because I know we get tons of questions about it. So there is a way to do this.
No cost.
And it just, you know, if it's something you were working on, that's fine. Okay, I expected that because I was
right.
doing
it.
Right,
the title company finally sent our, we bought a piece of property, the title company sends it down to us, we get it recorded, you're going to see an alert, and it should be timed with your closing. Pretty soon after your closing, you should probably get that alert.
But if you have done nothing and alert comes through, but it gives you
heads
up.
That's a red flag for you to go check something out, maybe come talk to us about what it was, and we'll get a copy of it for you and see what exactly was going on.
So that's a real good service. People worried about that. There is a solution here in Mobile County to do that.
At least an alert system that gives you so you don't wait around for through 3-4 years and suddenly have some credit bureau report to you, hey, what, you know, you haven't paid this mortgage, you haven't paid this judgment or whatever, and you're thinking, what judgment? I wasn't sued for anything, but you found out somebody went down to probate court and, quote, filed a judgment against you, which, by the way, is a felony in the state of Alabama if they do it fraudulently. But
so how does the hustle work there? What do they do?
Well, you know, I guess they can create clouds on title. It was more a few years ago. We were having a bigger problem with this, I think, than it is now. But as part of sort of our eternal struggle with the whole sovereign citizen, world, one of the things they would do is sort of do a basically paper terrorism to people, officials who had allegedly crossed them, wronged them, had done something with the system against them. They would create these basically false liens, judgments, mortgages, things, and next thing you know, public official Y would suddenly have a $8 billion lien on his property, and they would record that. And the tricky part of that is that is purely an administrative task of the court. So we don't judge every document for whether it's
y'all are there to file it.
It has whatever legal purpose it has. For us, it's just, is it in proper form and is it something we do record? And so we're kind of obligated to take it, charge them the fee for filing it. Whatever legal consequences it carries is really for other courts to determine, and the aggrieved party can go take that issue up with whatever court they want to. But
do the people have to put their name on it that are filed?
Absolutely.
Is there a way to track it back?
Yeah, and so we had several high-profile examples of this, one of which was the probate judge in Baldwin County. Not the current probate judge, but a former probate judge in Baldwin County. And this went back to when he was in a different office. He was working in the Bob Riley administration, and somebody got upset with him about something. And 4 or 5 years later, it's like he realized the guy had gone and filed multiple judgments, liens, and tried to encumber property that he had found in the judge's name in Baldwin County. And I think he went to sell a piece of property or get a new loan or something and found out he had all these clouds on the title. And so
even though they were fraud, but the person says, hey, Sean, we can't do this. Look at all this.
Yeah. And his experience, along with some other pretty high profile experiences, led the legislature to about 10 years ago adopt a new program where you actually had a felony charge for filing a known fraudulent document in probate court, for recording a fraudulent document, now was a standalone felony charge. And so there's also a administrative procedure in probate court to have that fraudulent document redacted from the records.
Okay, so it doesn't sit there forever.
No, you can get it removed. And once it's removed and determined to be fraudulent, then the DA takes over and pursues
the criminal case.
Going
after the person for the felony.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we had the very first one in Mobile County convicted of doing that, filed a number of fraudulent matters against our circuit clerk. And he was angry about some criminal matters he had, so he files all this stuff against JoJo Schwartzauer, who's a former circuit clerk. He gets convicted. Unfortunately for him, that was his third felony.
Three strikes, he's out.
He was doing 20-something years for filing a fraudulent document.
There you go. All right, coming back, we will.
That's not about elections. Sorry about that, Sean.
Yeah, but no, I got other questions. It's not even about election. We will get to elections in our conversation with Mobile County Probate Judge Mark Irwin right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 120 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Mobile County Probate Judge Mark Irwin, our guest this hour. Your questions, 251-343-0106. I got some others that are not on elections, but we'll get to those later on. We do have election coming up, and we are a week out.
Yes, we are. We actually had our crew out at the warehouse this morning. We completed all of our logic and accuracy testing on the ballot counters this morning.
You've done that before, but explain that again. What is that? How's that work?
So basically, before each election, we run a series of ballots through every election ballot counter that we're going to use next Tuesday with a known result to we audit against once we do the test. And so we look at every machine and ensure that it is properly accounting for the marks on the ballot.
Okay, so you've marked these ballots. You know it should come out for, you know, Peter Pan should get, you know, 300 votes, and right. Tinkerbell should get 350.
We have a known result set that we're waiting for, and we go and we do a live morning-long audit against every machine to make sure the ballots we run through it match the known result we're looking for. And then we zero them out, shut them down, seal them up, you know, wrap them up for travel to be delivered. That process will start Thursday and travel different routes in the county through the weekend, delivering those machines and the other equipment we need. And so we're getting all that packed up today and ready for transport and to have everything in place at all the 78 polls in Mobile County, by Monday, so that the inspectors and others can meet Monday evening and kind of set things up for Tuesday. But yep, we do have an election on Tuesday. It is the special congressional primary that was called for by the legislature and the governor earlier this spring. And just make sure everybody appreciates and understands that this is the congressional races, has nothing else, everything else is set for November. This is the primary for Congress. It's a redo of basically May 19th. And the Mobile County lines have been changed such that Mobile County now fits squarely, completely within U.S. District 1. Is no longer split between U.S. District 1 and U.S. District 2. So
generally
now,
back to the old lines.
So I don't want to say back to the old, but for Mobile County it is.
Mm-hmm.
The margins around the northern part changed
a little
bit. There
have been some changes.
But reality is it's basically back to pre-24 mm-hmm. lines or to 24 lines. And so, we're getting ready for that. And what you'll notice is there's only one ballot available in Mobile County because there's only a contest for the Republican primary. There is a Democratic nominee,
mm-hmm.
but they were unopposed
when
they qualified.
They've already moved through to the general. Yeah,
no need for a primary. There's no need for a ballot. They've already been nominated by the Democratic Party to be on the general ballot in November. So there is no Democratic contest. There's only a Republican contest between the however many candidates, four mm-hmm. candidates it is, for U.S. District 1, Republican nominee.
One thing is going to be on the ballot. I mean, one thing.
One thing, and only one style of ballot.
Yes, and only Republican ballot, yes.
For every voter, let me just tell you this, just like a normal primary, when you enter the poll, you're still going to have to make the designation at the registration table, I am voting in the Republican primary. You have to make affirmative confirmation.
Even though there's not a Democrat one there, but you still have to...
You still have to do the confirmation, so I don't want anybody to be confused when they walk in. There would be only one choice, but you still have to make that choice to confirm, you know, that you are participating in the Republican primary. Now, this is another big question I know that's out there. This is just like coming in for the primary back in May, right? So every voter in Mobile County is a free agent with how they want to choose to vote and mm-hmm. how they want to choose to participate for this primary, just like they would have been in May. So there's no...
Yeah, this is a primary.
This is no crossover situation.
This is not a runoff. This is a primary.
Crossover only relates to runoff elections.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a primary election. And so, you know, there's no pre-designation of who might have voted one way or the other in previous elections.
It doesn't matter what you did, even though names were on the ballot back in May.
Even though.
It didn't count, so this is fresh.
This is basically the first primary for these races, and so it's basically whoever wants to show up and participate, but you will, just to be forewarned, you will have to designate, I am voting in the Republican primary.
Now, okay, so if somebody did that, say a Democrat wanted to come in, or so they want to say they're Republican. They vote in this one. Does that change what they do in the general?
No. Everybody's a free agent in the general, always. That's never been, that rule's been the same forever. Yeah. Right. So everybody is free to vote how they want in a general. You can vote straight ticket, split ticket, no ticket, you know, however you want to choose to participate in the general is up to the voter. The only time the designation under current law comes into play is if there is a runoff and you participated in one party's primary, you're restricted to participate only in that party's runoff.
Right.
That's where that designation comes into play.
But because this is not a runoff, y'all, it seems like you're like, it's August, but no, this is the primary.
Right, primary. And but the
and
the
there won't be a runoff,
is,
by the way they did this, there's not going to be a runoff.
I will say this, there might be consequences in your life down the road if you are on record as having participated in one party's primary versus the other. Because I know both parties have rules about if you choose to run, you know, under their banner down the road, they look at that record.
They say, oh, you voted in the other party.
Yeah, they look at that stuff. But we're collecting that because that's part
of the
parties. Process.
That's not, I mean, that is not the government care. That is the private organizations that are the political parties.
They make the rules for their party. And whether or not you voted in one or the other is up to them to make, you know, whatever important decision about that they make. But we are capturing that information because that's part of the job we do at a primary.
And those parties can pull that information.
One day, if they need to.
Yeah. By the way, there's several people asking the same question, but Bobby, the latest said, back to what you talked about, can you set up these alerts online? If so, what website? You said it, but let's do it again. This is, and we'll get back to the election, but this is for alerts on your property.
Yeah, so just go to the Mobile County Probate Court. I think it's .org. Or .gov, rather, Mobile County Probate Court, .gov. I'm just making sure I know my own website. This is how great a promoter I am.
You know what? It's fair. People have said things, and we pay attention a little more because we're putting up news stories on the website, but people have called, like, our phone tree here at work and said, do you know what such and such message sounds like? I'm like, no, because I never call the station and go through the phone tree, but I need to do that. They'll remind me.
It's helpful from time to time. People will send us a note or call and say, do you realize what you still have on your website? We'll be like, should have been taken down a long time ago. But, so probate.mobilecountyal.gov.
And if y'all just will Google Mobile County Probate.
Mobile County Probate Court, go to our website. And if you have problems navigating through to the land record app, page on that, then we can contact our IT department and somebody there could assist you with setting up an account, username and password, that would allow you to use the landmark passive alert system.
Yeah, and it's like just a couple clicks and you're
should
in there.
Be,
yeah.
Should be there.
All right. So election coming up a week from today. Once again, this is the primary for CD1, AL1, I still call it AL1, but CD1. And these results, so everybody knows, I know it's been publicized, but we'll do it again. There won't be a runoff.
Right. The legislature, in creating the act that allowed for this special election, specifically eliminated the runoff component for this particular special election.
So it's not like normal where y'all will look, if you look at the numbers, if they come in, you're like, oh, there's going to be a runoff because nobody got the plurality. That doesn't. This is
right. So instead of having
jungle this, primary kind of thing,
instead of having the required 50% plus one, which is the formula we use now to avoid a runoff, you have to have 50% of the vote plus one. That means you got a firm majority.
Mm-hmm.
We'll simply be using the highest in the plurality of the votes. So somebody could win with 35% of the votes, or in theory, I guess, if I could do the math, you could have a 27, 26, 25, 24, you know.
And I'm just preparing people for that because they're not used to that. That's a different
thing
here.
It's
going
to be different. The declaration, the party will be their nominee will win with whoever achieves the most votes of those cast on primary day.
All right. Coming right back, more with Mark Irwin right here on Midday Mobile.
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 1:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. 251-343-0106. By the way, Fire Dog said, we have an election. We just had one last week, right? It's been busy. We still have the general ahead of us. This one, you know, we're talking about all the different things. I kind of focused on the election, but there's so many other things that go in to what y'all do at probate. Rock and Roll Doctor asks, what is done with all the filing fees and doc stamps and mortgage taxes, et cetera, collected by the probate court? Considering the high values of real property transactions in Baldwin County, for example, these fees could be very extensive. Multiple thousands of dollars for a $1 million plus condo, for example. What are those? Where are those funds spent? It has to be in excess of the cost to run probate court.
Well, I'm sure it's in excess of the cost of our annual budget, but all of those funds are remitted either to the county commission, or the state of Alabama Department of Revenue. And so we're just a conduit. We don't keep
Y'all don't have
the money.
You don't have a bank account there where
We have one fee on document recordings. It's a $2 fee that stays into a building fund for basically for computer IT matters and preservation of electronic records. It was created 30 years ago. But other than that, all the money we create, take in through the recording office is either remitted to the county commission or to the state revenue.
You give them the money. You collect it and you give them the
money. We're simply a pass-through. And our budget for the court is part of the whole county commission as a whole budget. We're just an agency of the county
commission. Yeah, you send them the money and they decide, and then they decide how they fund you.
And then every year, we're just like the sheriff, revenue, a license, you know, and the county administration. We're all part of the same budgeting cycle. So we don't have our own separate financial
it makes sense now,
intake and financial budgeting. We do all that through the Mobile County Commission, and appreciate their support because they got a lot to do. And this time of year, it's very tough because everybody, you know, we're looking for the new budget, and every agency is trying to.
October 1st is coming fast.
Yeah, every agency is explaining their needs to the commissioners and trying to, you know, hammer out what the final budget's going to look like. But we really appreciate the support that the county commission provides the probate court because, it's a large operation in a large county, and we are a revenue source because we do funnel.
Yeah, like
all
that texter said. I mean, that's you are a conduit for right. revenue.
We are not as big a revenue source as the revenue commission, which mm-hmm. is the obviously collecting all the property taxes mm-hmm. in the county every year, but we do collect a fair percentage of the taxes that flow into the county commission and flow to the state of Alabama for Mobile County.
Still many questions here. People are excited about this, and that's good. I mean, they hear commercials that have them like, oh gosh, somebody's going to get my title. So, and they're wondering how to do this. Billy D says, quick question. The username on the probate property alert system should be the same name on the property you're trying to keep and I own. Does it have to be exact? For example, senior, junior, multiple owners, etc.
I wish I came more prepared to answer those technical questions to the folks, but I can tell you this. We can help you with that. Our IT department at the court or call and talk to the folks in the recording office. Get to somebody that says, that's your question. I need to talk about mm-hmm. how to set my alert system up. We will get you to someone who can walk you through exactly the name you need to use and make sure it's the proper, spelling, surname, right. Suffix, whatever it is you need to put on there to make sure it's alerting you and you're getting the best results if something were to happen. So I apologize.
Like,
I should probably have a better grasp on the technical side of that. But
be fair to the judge. He came in today to talk about the election and I'm throwing him, about to throw him another curveball. But
I trust our folks will get on the phone with you. A live person will get on the phone with you and help you set up your username, password, and the name that you want to alert to. So I trust we can help you with that.
Okay, the other one here, if someone has a will that is witnessed but not notarized, does their property automatically go into probate?
Well, that just opens up a whole nother can of worms. Let me just say this, that a lot of folks sell the idea that somehow they can, quote, help you avoid probate when you die. Maybe. But let me just say this. If there is real property in an estate, I'll just make a general statement. Real property in an estate owned by the decedent that now needs to be transacted either to heirs or to sold, you know, to the public and liquidated, typically is going to require that an estate be open in probate, because anytime a title insurance company is going to be involved in researching the title and writing an insurance policy for the transaction, they're going to want to know they're doing it with court approval.
Okay.
So it's almost a guarantee that if you're going to have a piece of real property leave the estate, you know, into the name of someone else, you're almost always going to have to come through probate court, because the title insurance company is going to stop the process and say, we don't have an order from a judge. We're going to have that before we write this title insurance.
Learning stuff here. I appreciate that. Jason,
maybe not every time. You could probably write something that was in a way that might avoid that, and a title insurance company might do the closing,
but you're
just
saying
on the will.
But it could encumber, it would encumber that property.
I'm
it
just
could.
Saying any will, you may have a will that dictates how things are supposed to you know, be transacted after you die. I'm not saying that's a foolproof way of avoiding having to open a probate estate, even with such an ironclad will. We get wills filed every day, dozens every day, for all kinds of different reasons. But you may still have to open a probate estate. But let me just say this. This sort of boogeyman that the probate process costs so much and takes so long, I think is a marketing ploy for folks who want to tell you that that's what happens. It's really, if it's done right and you got a good lawyer to help with the person that's handling your business after you die, the probate process is not particularly expensive. I'll tell you when it gets expensive. It gets expensive when there are disputes in the family.
Okay.
That's when probate gets expensive, because multiple lawyers, litigation, it's just like any other legal process. Mm-hmm. It's going to drag on. It's going to be, you know, scratching, clawing, getting every advantage they think they can get and drawing it out. That's when the probate process gets expensive. If everybody's on the same page and the will's really clear and it's fairly straightforward, the probate process is not particularly expensive. It's the disputes that get expensive.
Yeah, and if they're probably not listening right now, I've told my kids I have a online will that is constantly edit. You can edit it constantly. And I said, listen, if you do whatever you want, but I hate to go in there and change that will right now.
Please find a good lawyer to help you.
Don't
with
ruin
your,
this. I've used this on the kids. I'm like, I can edit
fine.
It anytime.
Kids, don't listen to this.
Yeah, that's right.
Get a good lawyer to help you with your final arrangements, okay? And make sure it meets the Alabama requirements for self-proving, that it was done, that it's complete, that it's ready to go, and that will avoid a lot of hassle for your folks after you're gone and are trying to deal with your stuff.
Okay, this is back to elections here. So Jason said, will the Democrat challenger be on the ballot for sheriff, or is she ineligible after the Democrat Party asked for her removal? So I guess, will she be on the ballot is asking in November in the general?
As of right now, the Democratic Party, they basically amended their certification from the primary and removed that name from their certification. So as of right now, she is not
going on
the ballot. They changed their certification that they filed with the court.
Let's see. John said, I put everything into trust for many reasons, including avoiding probate. Does trust avoid probate?
Trust come to probate. See, that's another thing. That's under my umbrella of jurisdiction. Anything related to a trust instrument in the state of Alabama, you know, comes to probate court. Again, if there is a dispute. And a lot of times what I see is people set these, they create the document that says there's a trust, but they never take the next step and actually fund the trust. In other words, they never take the formal step of actually deeding the property
into
the trust. And so when they die, they thought they did something smart, but they basically just left an empty vessel, the trust.
So the stuff has to be put into the trust
to make it die.
Worth, yeah.
Otherwise, the trust means nothing. If whatever was supposed to fund the trust or occupy the trust isn't placed into the trust,
Do people miss
doing
that?
It's just an empty pot.
They miss doing that?
Oh, they do all the time. Absolutely.
All right, put your stuff, make sure your stuff is in the trust. Come back to the text. I want to ask, this is my time. I'm going to ask a question here because thought about you last week. I was talking about this story about an arrest made, and this is the sidecar to the bigger story, but this person had a gun, okay, had a gun, and police had stopped him. And in the discussion, it came up because he was had a felony out of Florida, this and that, the other, but he told the officers that, well, he had been to the range and he'd been practicing with his Glock 40 because he was a Mobile County constable. Earlier in the story, it said Daphne resident.
Hmm.
And I thought, all right, all the stuff we've talked about with constables and changes that are going to be coming in a couple of years, that one should prune itself out. Like, what are the rules to be a constable in Mobile County?
Well, you have to live in the voting precinct.
Not just the county.
No, you have to live within the geographic boundaries of the voting precinct that you're the designated constable for currently.
If you move out of that precinct, you have vacated
your office.
Okay. Let alone, I think it's obvious you live in another county, you're not eligible, but you've got to live in the actual lines of that precinct.
It would be the same as if a county commission District 1 suddenly found out they had moved and now lived in County Commission District 2.
That you can't be at large.
They're ineligible to serve. They have vacated their seat from a legal standpoint. They have vacated the seat they were elected to by removing themselves from the boundaries of their district. So same thing with a constable. If you remove yourself from the boundaries of your precinct, then you have vacated the seat and you're basically left that seat empty.
All right, coming right back, more with the judge right here on Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right now, 152 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Jeff at Stone Arms. And right now, easy as ever, actually even easier than it was a couple years ago. You're talking about filling out forms. We've got the probate judge in here. But so for years, I was going to get around to it to get my tax stamp from the feds to be able to get a suppressor, get a silencer. And it was just tedious to the point that I would have these forms printed out. They stayed in the manila folder back there on my desk. And then, but you had to go over here to get fingerprints. You had to get the, you know, passport type photo over here. And I just never got it all done. So Jeff, a couple of years ago, calls me and said, listen, we've got a kiosk. I'm fancy with kiosk. It's a computer on the wall, but it's awesome. You go into Stone Arms and you put your information in, and it only lets you put, because it's federal form, so everything has to be done a certain way. It prompts you to put the stuff in and make sure you're putting the right information on the right lines on this computer. It does all that. Then you go to next. It takes your picture, does the fingerprints all in one place, and then it puts it together and sends it off to the right email address for ATF to get the information. Everything's perfect when it goes there, and it's pretty darn convenient. And I pointed out, too, that back before the Big Beautiful Bill passed, back when I did it, I had to pay $200 with that. Now, that fee's waived as well, so you don't have to pay for it, but it sends it off. And now, and so, you know, remember it used to be, it would take a year to get that or months to get that. 2 weeks or less right now with Stone Arms, and a lot of cases, 48 hours or less to get your green light back to be able to get that suppressor. And lucky for Jeff and lucky for all of us, a great selection of those on hand right there at Stone Arms. See them online, Stone Arms Inc. That's INC, StoneArmsInc.com, Stone Arms Inc. on Facebook. But the most fun is seeing them in person and checking out everything else going on in the shop as well. About a quarter mile west of Snow on Airport Boulevard, Stone Arms. Go see them today. All right, continue our conversation with Mobile County Probate Judge Mark Irwin. Let's get some dates here, too. Looking forward, like, of course, a week from today, it's the, I keep saying that I am so stuck on the CD1. I'm just old school with AOA. The CD1 primary, this is not the run, this is the primary election for Congress. That goes on, and then we got to start looking at November.
No, we were already, I mean, we'll be very quickly, you know, turning our attention to November. In fact, this is kind of up on the border of the reason we had to have this election now, and the legislature knew that this was a very narrow window to fit this in, was because to meet November requirements for ballot preparation, we have to know who's going to go on the ballot here in the next week or so. And so this is obviously right on the deadline for that later in August, where we have to submit the...
Yeah, when is y'all's deadline for that?
I think it's August 19th is when we would, under the normal calendar, have to have the ballot in prep for printing, because we have to open the UOCAVA, or the overseas military ballot process, has to open so many days before the November
y'all
election.
Y'all don't have much time here.
We do not. Just several weeks before we have to be ready for ballots for both. We have 55 days to open the absentee ballot office before November. So that backs you up from November 3rd into late September. And then the UOCAVA are a week or two ahead of that. So like early September, just after Labor Day, I think we have to have the UOCAVA ballots prepared and available to send
so
out.
So they can send out to
if
overseas.
If they request them, yeah, for military and overseas. So
you,
yeah.
You this, don't, yeah, there's not wiggle
there's no
room
break.
Here.
There's no break. But yeah, so we are quickly turning our attention to the needs for November and getting all of our, you know, making sure we have polling locations, inspectors, starting to get our folks, you know, minds. I actually met with all the leadership of the polls in advance of Tuesday. Yesterday, we had two sessions where we had some update training with them just to kind of get them not just thinking about next Tuesday, which we are thinking about, but also just to get their mind ready, because we're going to quickly turn and start sending them, you know, requests to start putting their rosters of workers together for November, sorting through, sifting through who's available, who's not. You know, we employ just at 1,000 people around Mobile County on an election day. And so the logistics of getting 1,000 people lined up, ready to go, setting up their training in late September, early October, ready, getting ready for the 1st of November, there's just a lot of moving parts there that we got to get our attention to.
Yeah, I got
to
think about the fact that, and not everybody's done it before. You probably have new people coming into
all
that 1,000.
All
yeah,
the time.
So you got to train them from zero.
We'll have new leaders in different polls. People get, you know, they move, so they have to leave, or they kind of just get to the point where they just don't want to do it anymore, or maybe there's some issues that they decided to step aside. So in every election we have, there's going to be a certain number of polls that have a new leader in those polls, but in every poll, there's going to be some changeover in the workers. We're in, you know, we're training new workers all the time to help fill those spots. And so, yeah, so the you know, it's like Lucy and the conveyor belt. It just never, it never seems, you know, these election cycles just don't end. So from our perspective, now that's a lot of the duck paddling under the water stuff that most people don't see.
Well, that's what I like to talk to you about. I'd like to know what's going on.
It's what we, you know, it's what we do.
Yeah, that's Sean's job.
I have a great staff. I have a wonderful staff at probate court that help coordinate that. And all of our team members at probate have election responsibilities. They do their job every day, but they, when we get around to certain parts of the election, they have assignments that they also have to do. Like today, we had a crew of about 8 or 9 out doing the testing. Those are people who are other days of the week are recording your deeds and your mortgages or processing your pleading that you file. But today they're doing election work. And so we just, it's a big puzzle piece, big puzzle. We're just sticking pieces in all the time. So,
and before we wrap up too, I want to remind folks, we've done it many times, but don't just assume you know where you go vote.
No, alabamavote.gov.
No, it's so easy.
Check your status, check your location. Nothing has changed. No locations should have changed this
time.
But
if they didn't vote last time.
But if you haven't voted this cycle so far, check your status, check where you go to vote. The last day to apply by mail for an absentee ballot, if you need one, is this afternoon. So we're coming up on the deadline. So you have to get that in-mail application in today. The last day to absentee vote in person at our office at 105 Government Street, first floor, is Thursday, close of business. So 4:30, Thursday afternoon, be there. You can vote in person by absentee ballot and have that all sealed up, ready for Tuesday if you have to go out of town next week or you're working out of town. So I've had some calls about that in the last day or two.
All right. Eat your Wheaties, drink some electrolytes, and get through Tuesday.
We're ready.
All right.
Sean, we appreciate you letting us come on.
I always. Mobile County Probate Judge Mark Irwin. Paul Feinbaum Show, all the way next.